Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Kyle will be live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, continues now, I should say. This is the broadcast for October the 30th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. We just talked about Jeff Sessions wants his old Senate seat back. Is he going to go ahead and push for it? Will he win? Kurt wants Jeff Sessions to back Roy Moore, and so do I. I don't have a whole lot of confidence that'll happen, but there's always a hope, that's for sure. It is good to hope, that's for sure. NBC News adding, quote, digital jobs, but laying off some staffers. That's kind of an interesting story as well, just showing the shift in the marketplace, if you will. I've been telling folks digital jobs are coming and here to stay. People used to laugh at me, but now they're kind of coming to their senses, so that's good news. All right, interesting headline. I guess they say dangerous dry winds forecast. I guess that's going to sweep into fire-plagued Los Angeles. Reuters with the details. These fires are out of control. They're cutting off electricity in California quite a bit, being criticized big time about it. It's a serious, serious problem. Of course, no one wants to talk about God. No one wants to talk about, hey, he ultimately controls the weather. That's kind of off limits for discussion, if you will. But I think it's the poignant point that needs to be discussed. Just my personal opinion on the topic. But our prayers go out to those folks that are in California and suffering from wildfires, or whether you're suffering from tornadoes or hurricanes or floods or earthquakes or fires or, you know, whatever calamity besets you. Our prayers are with you, that people are safe and people can work together and recover, and the humanitarian reach out in the private sector and the philanthropy folks and nonprofits and churches. And, you know, I hope people can come together in times of crisis and need. That's for sure. But these fires are pretty serious stuff, folks, in California. And I went back east and in the south here a little bit, and they don't have near the fires down there, because there's a whole lot more, humidity, and things aren't near as dry. It's wet down there a lot or whatever else. And, fires just don't seem to burn crazy out of control in the south and in the east as much as they do in the west, thank heavens. So that's going on. Kurt, any update on that from Reuters?
You know, I was looking at that piece earlier and thinking, at least you brought up the idea or the fact that the real weatherman is the God of heaven. And, you've got to look at California as, I don't know if you want to call it ground zero for, evil and destruction and godless society. But you do have some pretty rough stuff there. You do have good folks, I will grant you, that are around there as well. And but when you look at these fires and things, imagine if they'd embraced, instead of the grid system that basically they say is they're claiming that's part of the fire problem. But imagine if they'd embrace the God of heaven, the Ten Commandments, and then at least if you're talking about without the part about God, if individuals had their own power, if individuals didn't rely on the big grid for all of that, then the winds wouldn't be whipping the big power lines and causing these so-called fires, that kind of thing, would they, Sam?
No, and a lot of the problem has to do with land, too, Kurt. When government owns the massive swath of land that they own, they can't maintain it and care for it properly. And so, the states aren't independent, and the federal government doesn't, fund or take care of their lands. And so you get this kind of, pardon the pun, no man's land of confusion. And then it's mismanaged. And, I think that what we really need to do is have the states and the federal government get out of the land business. let individuals own land and people would be responsible for their own land and care for it and take care of it. And, you know, we could bring all kinds of new technologies forward. And I think there's a lot of solutions. The solution is not have the feds control all the land and then mandate an electrical grid that crosses all this no man's land that people aren't taking care of or managing properly. And, you know, so Donald mocks the state of California for not managing their land properly. And but yet, you know, hey, how much of California is federal land in the first place? And, you know, what is federal land? Is that legitimate? And I say that it's not. And we go round and round and round with the debates. All the while, fires burn unchecked and everybody wants to play the blame game. I think we got to turn to our God. But I also think as individuals, if we just had the land managed by somebody that was responsible for it and understood how to care for it. And, you know, the folks back east have no idea how to handle lands in the West. You know, folks back east seem to just be stuck on stupid when it comes to thinning out forests and doing things that can decrease fire. You know, they want to claim don't cut down the trees, don't thin out the forest, don't do this, don't do that, don't mess with nature, let it naturally occur. And, you know, God told us to care for the earth and tend it and care for it and take care of it. And I believe that means thinning out the forest. I believe that means using the resources on the land responsibly, of course, but I don't believe that it means just create these big swaths of wilderness that are untouchable. And so part of the debate comes down to political, comes down to regulation, comes down to people aren't properly managing the land at all. And everybody's just involved in the blame game. Any tidbit to add on that, Kurt?
Well, those are all great points, Sam, and I don't know that I did want to add something. Last hour we talked about, you know, the Breitbart being possibly included in the Facebook news tab, and, you know, where they were being accused of being, what was it, white nationalist or defending white nationalism, etc. I thought it was interesting in the CNBC.com piece about it. Breitbart flatly rejected the accusation that it's a proponent of white nationalism. They said it's absurd to suggest Breitbart promotes or defends white nationalism, especially as our founders and leadership team are Jewish. A New York Times Magazine profile praised us for our record of promoting women and minorities, and a Harvard MIT study concluded that Breitbart is not the alt-right. That's what the organization said in a statement to CNBC. So, just interesting. It's kind of like that question of when did you stop beating your wife, and you've got to defend that. It's probably a no-win situation.
Yeah, I don't even know what white nationalism is, Kurt. I mean, for example, I'm white as far as people tell me and stuff like that, so I have to believe them. My DNA test shows that I'm white and from European ancestry and all that kind of stuff. And I'm a constitutionalist, Kurt. I believe in the supreme law of our land, and I believe we ought to avoid foreign entanglements. I'm not an isolationist, as they would, you know, manipulate it to be, but I do believe in... you know, we ought to avoid foreign entanglements. We ought to take care of our nation and our people, and in so much as we can reach out to others around the world, I think in a positive way, we as individuals should do that. But I don't think it's the role of government. I think the role of government is to carry forward the constitutional provisions and the guidelines. In other words, government derives its power from the consent of the governed and the very limited scope on what government has authority and a mandate from the people to even do. The documentation for that's in the supreme law of our land. So I guess if you say compared to a globalist, I'm a nationalist, right? I mean, I don't want bad to happen to any other country. I want every country to be great, but I want to focus on my country first, because the stronger my country is, the greater chance I can, you know, reach out and provide a beacon of light for others, okay? But that doesn't mean that I want any ill to come to anybody. But if I'm white, because that's my ancestry, and I believe in America and our supreme law, and avoid foreign entanglements. Am I a white nationalist, Kurt?
Well, see, that's the whole thing. Apparently, you know, if the guy like a YG says the things he says, you know, you can't call him a black nationalist.
He doesn't even believe in nationalism, does he?
Yeah. People don't like to hear that. And yet, if you... you know, call somebody a white nationalist, then I guess it's something evil. But if you're a white person and you appreciate your country, you hope for your nation, I guess, would that make you a white nationalist?
Well, that's kind of my point. Now, if they want to say a white nationalist believes that somehow because of their whiteness or the pigmentation in their skin, they're better than everybody else, or that they have the right to down everybody or look with disdain on everybody else or whatever else. See, I don't agree with any of those ideologies. I disagree with all of them. Now, I don't have any problem with somebody white trying to advocate for and promote their heritage. Just like I don't have any problem with anybody advocating for their heritage. Blacks, whites, Asians, anybody. Hispanics, I mean, anybody should advocate for their heritage. After all, it's theirs, and they should celebrate it and be grateful for it. But I don't think that I'm better than anybody. I think we're all God's children, and he made us different, and that's okay. And I think he loves us, and I think insofar that we keep his commandments, he'll bless us, and insofar that we don't, we will lose those blessings. I think that applies to everybody, regardless of creed or color or ethnicity. Whatever.
Good job.
All these different terms. I don't really know. I just know that God loves us all. And hey, we love him because he loved us first. Is that how it goes? And I don't really know what this white nationalist stuff means. I don't really see that Breitbart is promoting some hatred for other races, though. Do you, Kurt? I haven't seen that from Breitbart. And I've watched him for, I don't know, 5-6 years solid.
Well, and neither have I. And yet, they tell you that, it's really evil there at Breitbart because they, at least in some cases, they seem even-handed, but they want somebody who's completely against, like, the president, and then they say that's good news, you know.
Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Kurt just sent me another story, so I'm going to jettison the stories we had, and I'm going to go straight to this one. There's a new poll out, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam, and apparently this poll, says that a lot of folks, 7 in 10, they say, believe in America first, of course, the media wants to, put a poll like this kind of on the back burner. I think that's about the number of people that really would support the president and his agenda of making America great again. But when they get beat up so much in the media and all these other things, they kind of feel like doing it in secret, Sam. But this is a Breitbart piece, and apparently they
is
say
it just white
ahead
people,
of this.
Kurt?
What's that?
Is it just white people?
Well, they say it's likely voters, and so I think that would be, you know, all different colors, but people that are likely to vote. They say about 70% of likely voters say they're believers in America First. They call it the nationalist populist doctrine that guides President Trump's agenda on immigration, trade, health care, and foreign policy, among others. Meanwhile, only about 19% of likely voters said they would describe themselves as socialists, making the term the most unliked label for Americans. Instead, more Americans describe themselves as politically incorrect, feminists, gun enthusiasts, proud Americans, and progressives than they do socialists. So socialists was way down on the list.
Yeah, that's because the American people don't understand how socialist we really are. They think they're rejecting the term, but they don't reject the reality quite a bit, which is sad to say, but true. We're a pretty socialist nation, folks. And when the president runs around and says we'll never be a socialist nation, when we're already, you know, what percent socialist would you say we are, Kurt? It's pretty
significant. Well, I think certain people are a lot more socialist than others, and it just
kind
of depends.
But
people are just unaware of what socialism really is. It's pretty much the opposite of constitutionalism, as far as I can tell. I guess an earlier survey was done by Harvard/Harris found similar results when U.S. voters were asked their opinions on specific policy questions and whether they side with Trump's America First doctrines. In that survey, about 3 in 4 voters favor the nationalist populist America First doctrine on issues like immigration, trade, and foreign policy. The findings were the latest evidence that the open borders, globalization, and endless wars ideology of former administrations such as George W. Bush's have little to no support with American voters. So, at least in my opinion, that's good news. By the way, they conducted this between the 17th of October and the 23rd of October. They included more than 1,000 U.S. adults over the age of 18, and 806 of them, they say, were likely voters. The poll has a margin of error of plus or minus 3.1 percentage points.
Yeah, there's no doubt it's good news that people think that way. I think the disconnect needs to be highlighted, though. That, you know, we're a serious, serious socialist nation in America. If you don't believe me, go grab your copy of the Constitution. See how much of it's in place, like constitutional currency and very limited, you know, involvement in our lives on the federal government level, very defined, very narrow scope of authority. They get their authority from the consent of the governed and stuff like that, the dual sovereignties of the state and the federal government with separate jurisdictions and all that kind of stuff. And then you compare that to the Communist Manifesto, and you look at what we have in America, the 10 planks, alive and well, with progressive income tax, inheritance taxes, you know, control of farming and government transportation and government schools. And, you know, you put a lot of that in place and you go, wow, we're sure off base. If 7 in 10 Americans believe in an America First agenda, we're sure not doing very well on the socialism front. So, you know, it's important to highlight that disconnect, and hopefully Americans will wake up and insist through the checks and balances that we have more constitutionalism and less socialism in the greatest country on the face of the earth. All right, across the board, scores drop in math and reading for U.S. students, Kurt.
Well, what do you think, Sam? Are you surprised with this report?
Not at all. Again, when you have government schools that are the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, I'm not surprised that kids are being indoctrinated into whatever the latest agenda is and not taught to critically think and to read and write. And they're not, you know, they're not taught fundamentals of critical thinking or fundamentals of how to do things. They're more indoctrinated about the environment and more indoctrinated about, you know, same-sex attraction. And you know, they're really steeped in all these perversions rather than educated in principle learning ideas. So I'm not surprised a bit, Kurt. In fact, I'm shocked that they haven't dropped as much as I would expect.
That's a great point. And this is coming to us from Lauren Camera. I wonder if she's got a photographic memory. But anyway, she writes for U.S. News and World Report, the once great news reporters. The headline reads, "Across the board, scores drop in math and reading for U.S. students. The latest results from the nation's report card show declines in student performance across demographics." They say that math and reading scores for fourth and eighth graders in the United States dropped since 2017, and the decrease in reading achievement has government researchers particularly concerned. One of them there, Peggy Carr, she's an associate commissioner of the National Center for Education Statistics. She said over the past decade, there's been no progress in either mathematics or reading performance, and the lowest performing students are doing worse. They got this thing called the NAEP. You probably remember about it, Sam. That stands for the National Assessment of Education Progress. And they, they administer this to more than 600,000 students enrolled in government schools, they say public schools, and Catholic schools from every state and Washington, D.C., and also includes a breakout of student achievement in 27 large urban school districts. Most notable, they say, were the score drops in reading, which occurred in 17 states with regard to fourth grade reading scores, and in 31 states for eighth grade reading scores. On average, they say the reading scores declined for fourth graders by 1 point and for eighth graders by 3 points. They say, or
in other words, the more money we throw at it and the longer you're in the indoctrination centers, the worse it gets, is the point.
Good point, Sam. Yeah, I couldn't have said it. Well, I mean, there's no chance.
But Kurt, you got to understand something. They're not failing. Okay? I know this.
Good point. They're
headline.
Doing exactly what they're intended to do. Yeah.
Across the board, scores drop in math and reading for U.S. students. That's exactly what they want, Kurt. They don't care if you can read or not. They don't care if you can critically think or not. They don't care if you can support yourself or not. They want to create basically, you know, food stamp recipients. They want to create, look at the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, government school. What's the purpose of schools and government education in the communist system? The answer is to raise people, to make babies for the state, to not have a family, to dedicate their whole lives, their existence, their labor to the great cause of the state. And so their sex education, their, you know, everything they're teaching goes to that narrative. The environment. Hey, we got to just fall on our sword. The sky is falling. And we got to fall on our sword because the government needs to save us from ourselves. And, you know, then sex is really to abort babies and murder children. And, you know, you can titillate people with the desires for sex as long as the sex doesn't produce families. Okay, you go study the Communist Manifesto and you tell me if I'm right. Well, that's live and well in America, Kurt. And so they don't care if people can read or write. They're achieving their ends. Make no mistake about it. And if you don't believe me, then what have they done to change this? What have they done to focus on reading and math? There's this place called Khan Academy, speaking of that, for math. It's free. And if kids need help with math, how many of these instructors that are working with these children who know their scores are plummeting, how many of them are proposing this free solution out on the internet to help students shore up their math skills, Kurt?
When I talk to these so-called education experts, so many of them act like they never even heard of Khan Academy.
Well, Khan Academy, they not only have they probably not heard about it, that might be true, but it's a threat to their cash cow, baby.
exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. House today will begin a formal process which could lead to the impeachment of President Trump. The House Rules Committee will meet to determine the scope of the current impeachment inquiry, and the full House would then vote on a resolution concerning the inquiry tomorrow. Republican House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says,
"There is nothing impeachable about this, so why are they dragging us through this once again with..."
Firefighters in Southern California bracing for historic winds today. Most of the region under a red flag warning. Winds will gust to about 80 miles an hour, and they're only going to fan the fires which are burning, including a huge one near L.A. now. Northern California also feeling winds which are fanning flames of the Kincade Fire, which has now burned 115 square miles. This is USA Radio News.
Well, look who's home. How was your day, hon?
Stressful, exhausting.
Lay down on me and we'll talk about it.
Oh, Purple Mattress. You know how to support me.
Hey, I'm just a mattress doing my job.
You're more than that. You're a Purple Mattress. Who cares about a bed with numbers when I have your Purple Grid to comfort my body's pressure points? And forget memory foam. Your non-toxic, hyper-elastic polymer minimizes heat, keeping me cool and comfortable the whole night through.
If you're happy, I'm happy. But you do have up to 100 days to return me for a full refund.
And give up the best night's sleep I've had since I learned to walk? No way. You're the only one I want to come home to, Purple Mattress.
You too can come home to a Purple Mattress by texting SHIP to 84888. And now for a limited time, receive a free Purple product with your order. When you text SHIP to 84888, that's keyword S-H-I-P to 84888.
Message and data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive. See purple.com for terms and conditions.
The nation's economy growing a bit more than expected by analysts during the third quarter. The Commerce Department says it grew at an annualized rate of 1.9% from July through September, stronger than the 1.6% rate economists had predicted. Chicago public school students are missing a 10th day of classes today as teachers are mulling over a latest contract offer from the city. Union leaders do say they believe there is a chance a tentative deal could be reached by the end of today. A huge change when it comes to college sports. The NCAA changing its mind about players getting endorsement money.
The NCAA board did an about-face and voted unanimously to go along with California and allow college athletes to make money from sponsorships and endorsements.
But do that in a way that's consistent with the collegiate model of sports.
A number of other states were following California's lead.
Reporter Wendy King, and this is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Our prayers are for true education. But again, they don't focus on it because they're not interested in it. All right, Khan Academy's out there for free with incredible classes to help folks with math for free. And not only have most of these collegiate folks and most of these educators, have they not even heard about it. Maybe they're genuine. Maybe they're just saying they haven't heard about it. I don't know. But it threatens their cash cow, though. If you can really learn math for free, what do you need these, you know, tenured professors and tenured educators for? But even so, Phyllis Lafley, the late Phyllis Lafley, I might add, created a first reader reading program. Cost like $80, and we basically bought that program, took it out of the book, put it in protector pages, and taught eight kids to read with it. Eight kids to read with that $80, you know. So reading and math are very inexpensive to teach. But we literally spend, what, $10,000, $15,000 a year in the government Communist Manifesto schools? And, hey, they can't even get that done. The longer you're in their schools, the worse it gets. If you don't see the answer, I don't know how to help you anymore. All right, there's a report Kurt wants to talk about a woman. And there's a lot of reasons to discuss this story. It's not very pleasant, but nevertheless, it's needful, Kurt.
Well, very good, Sam. In this case, there was some real bad stuff going on, and
you got to explain
the headline
you're talking about, though.
The headline reads, this is in South Carolina, by the way, and Greenville, South Carolina. And the headline reads, woman severs man's body part to escape alleged sexual assault.
That's not even what the registered headline says, Kurt.
Well, I think people would know what that is, Sam. It's just like when when they put the F word there, they don't put the whole word. And so in this case, I'm just simply saying, hey, it's a man's body part. This woman severs that. I think people can figure that out. And this registered sex offender, I don't get that, how you got to register, you know. But anyway, in South Carolina, he's out on bond after an alleged sexual assault where a woman severed his body part out of self-defense. According to a report last week, the Greenville News reported that the alleged victim knocked on the doors. Now, this is the not the guy, but the woman knocked on the doors of several homes in Greenville, South Carolina, desperate to flee her attacker and pleading for help where she could. One lady, her name is Jacqueline Fair. I don't know if she was too fair about this, but she said, I didn't open the door because you never know what's going on with that kind of stuff. Now, I would tell you, Jacqueline, that I know what's going on with that kind of stuff in my neighborhood because I never really get naked ladies running around screaming and yelling with blood all over them like this lady. But anyway, she was saying, help me, help me, help me. And I said, no, honey, we need to call the police. The woman who appeared to be naked, I don't know how you appear to be naked, but anyway, and covered in blood, according to the neighbor's security camera footage, that's one thing about having a great camera there. Eventually found help at a local Waffle House. This was a mile away from where the incident took place. According to the report, the woman was fleeing from a house where an accused sexual predator held her hostage before she severed his body part to escape his clutches. That would make it where you could escape, I think. But anyway, this guy's been a registered sex offender since 1989. He's got a rap sheet of several criminal convictions, kind of like when Sheriff Mack tells us about this recidivism, and it's the main problem. But anyway, they say a number of places he was convicted. Then he was convicted of voyeurism. Other sexual assault victims and witnesses have severed their attackers' private parts out of self-defense. Several, and they tell you about one in particular. But anyway, I don't think this guy will be participating in quite as many of these problems because
yeah, good point. By the way, there's scientific terms for these body parts, just so people understand, that are appropriate to use. They even help third graders kind of understand what they are and stuff like that, you know. So there you go. But what I find interesting about this story is the fact that people, Kurt, have now been so, accustomed to problems or violence or hatred or perverted sexual realities, to where this one lady, she wouldn't even help. She's just like, I'm not opening my door for this. I don't know what the heck's going on. And I agree with Kurt that we need to help in those situations. But I also understand that we've created such an environment in America of hatred and violence and abuse and these kind of things, to where, Kurt, people are just scared to help. And I'm not defending that as much as highlighting this is kind of the problem that we find ourselves in. I don't really hear any reference to God in this story either. And I understand the lady had to do what she had to do to not become a greater victim. She was certainly a victim for sure. And I understand her necessary, sadly, action. But at the same time, what is going on in America when you can't get help from somebody? As far as I understand, she knocked on a bunch of doors. They highlighted one lady that didn't help, but she eventually had to run to a public place, the Waffle House, to get help, Kurt. What's going on around here? And I think this highlights...
Yeah, hats off to the Waffle House, I guess. Amen. You know. But one thing I will say, we've recently spent time in one of America's most dangerous cities. And, you know, talking to some of the individuals there, they tell us, well, you know... I mean, we can't really leave or whatever, but we recommend, ladies and gentlemen, to flee these evil places, whether it's New York or California, where they want to tax you into oblivion and all these other evil things they do. Go to places where it's safer for you. Right, Sam?
Yeah, I was in Greenville, South Carolina just the other day, too, by the way, Kurt. Just for an FYI.
I didn't know that.
Except I didn't see any victims running around naked either there, you know. But anyway. Now, I don't know if it's worse in South Carolina or if it's worse in Florida, but Florida man with HIV failed to inform sex partners of his status, claims sheriff. You want to respond to that, Kurt?
Well, you know, and I guess there's some people that are pretty upset about this, but I just would suggest to these individuals that if they're not having these types of out-of-wedlock relations, they wouldn't have to worry about this kind of thing, would they, Sam?
No, sir. I don't think so. I think it'll be much better off all the way around. And so, you know, regardless of people's horrible choices, though, it's sad that, you know, this Florida man is running around doing that. I mean, it's adding insult to injury for sure.
Yep.
Your point's well taken. The way to, you know, reduce it or stop it would be to, you know, encourage people and teach people about God and his laws relating to sexual relationships, etc. And I think that's important. And again, I see these stories highlighting all the problems, but I don't see a single story about, you know, if we want to talk about education for a minute, the math and the reading scores have slipped, and that's tragic, and we could easily solve that problem. But what about the morality of the people, Kurt? I mean, this idea that some sexual predator is going to run around and this woman needs to flee for her safety, and then all these sex partners, I don't know if they're male or female sex partners, again, pointing to the tragedy in our society. They don't know that this guy has AIDS. And I'm just saying it all comes down to, hey, we're not teaching people about God's laws governing the sacred act of procreation and the act of sexual involvement and when it's sanctioned and okay and good and when it's really, in my opinion, prohibited, right? We're not talking about that, and we should be.
That's a great point. And this in this FoxNews.com piece talking about this Florida man where the headline reads, Florida man with HIV failed to inform sex partners of status. Robert Geerty is the author. You know, I guess down in Florida they got a HIV disclosure law. And I guess this guy's been accused of failing to tell three women that he was HIV positive before they had relations. I'm just suggesting that there's a solution to this, and that's following God's laws. You participate only with the one you're
that's
married
right
to, Sam. I mean, but there's no room in the Fox News piece about that.
So. All right. Well, anyway, so there's a couple of weird sexual stories for you. Now, Kurt wants to tell you when frequent sex is best.
Oh, let's see. I'm trying to remember where this this story. I know I remember it. Let's see. Let me see if I can find it.
Headline says frequent sex is best when trying to conceive. I guess they had a new sperm study out, and it suggests that fertility doctors are giving bad advice. Kurt will hunt that one down in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. He sends me so many. It's just tough to find them. I get it. I know. I have a tough time even organizing them all. All right, we'll get to it in seconds, though, ladies and gentlemen. There's, you know, there's studies on just about everything. How come there's no studies on how to promote God, family, and country, though? Just wondering.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America.
Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
To leave a message, press 1. To change your message, press 7.
Hey, Mom, Dad, Mark here. Wow, I love college, really. I never knew living on my own could be so, good for me.
To change your message, press 7.
So, here I am at college. It's cool. Well, of course, it's only been a week.
To change your message.
Hey, it's me. I was just remembering that time I hit my first home run, you know, through the garage window. Thanks for not being mad. No.
To change.
Hi. Boy, I miss you guys. I miss my room. I miss waking up to warm socks straight from the dryer. Warm socks.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Hi, it's Mark. Love you guys. I'll call you later.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, they say fertility doctors giving bad advice, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam. Excuse me.
I'll let Kurt get some water really quick while I highlight this story here. They say frequent sex is best while trying to conceive. Sperm study suggests that the sperm doctors are kind of giving bad advice there, Kurt. And, you know, what do you expect from physicians, Kurt?
Well, that's a good point. And I guess in the past they've suggested that abstaining from this activity, you know, would be a better way to conceive, you know, in a couple's efforts to conceive a baby.
Sense.
Well, I know. I'm just saying they say that that way you kind of build up the sperm, I guess. And now, Sam, recent research is saying that that's not the way it is. They say for years, men have usually been advised to limit sexual activity to increase the chances of pregnancy. But they say that's not the way it is. So anyway, just thought
I'm kind of redneck out here, you know. Let me just kind of throw this out for you. Heavenly Father, the God of heaven, has, you know, indicated for us that we're supposed to welcome children to the earth. And we're supposed to be involved sexually with one man, one woman, who are legally and lawfully wedded. And that's the prescribed method to bringing children to the earth. And so I would submit to you that the more that man and woman engage in those things designed to bring people to the earth, the greater chance that people will come to the earth. Now, how dumb am I, Kurt?
Well, Sam, there you go. You don't have a degree in this, but they say they looked at...
I know, but isn't that logical as all get out, buddy?
Well, of course it is. It's God and all that stuff in the mix. But in this case, ScienceDaily.com's got this piece, and they say that these researchers looked at individual subjects' semen after they had abstained for either several days or just an hour or two, comparing the volume of semen and the mobility of sperm. As had been observed earlier, the sperm from shorter abstinence periods moved faster. Sam, well, there you go.
Interesting faster how the moving. More you engage in that, the greater chances of it carrying out its intended consequences. I don't know how to handle that.
There you go. They say they used a technique called mass spectrometry. To look at the protein makeup of the samples, the team found some major molecular differences. The majority of the affected proteins were involved in cell adhesion, a function that sperm need to in order to fuse with egg cells. Man, I'll tell you what, these guys are doing some amazing stuff. They say To see whether the changes to sperm were affecting fertility, research team also ran a study of about 500 couples preparing for in vitro fertilization at the fertility clinic. They asked men in the control group for semen samples after several days of abstinence, whereas men in the experimental group abstained for less than 3 hours before providing their samples. The IVF team proceeded as usual with the two types of samples, using them to generate and then implant embryos. They say a typical live birth rate in a cohort of this size is about 30%. Live births were higher by one-third. Our data indicate that couples with relatively normal semen parameters should have frequent sex around the ovulation period. This could make all the difference to their efforts to start a family. Boy, these guys are never going to win the Nobel Prize for this one, are they, Sam?
There you have it. Very interesting indeed, but I think we overthink a lot of this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. I really do. I just think, you know, encourage people to live together naturally and normally and bring children to the world. Anything you do to block children from coming eventually will have negative repercussions going forward. And I just think that God intended us to live together naturally and normally as husband and wife and bring children into the world. And the procreative power, partnering with God in the sacred opportunity, is a blessing and a half. And I think we need to look at it that way. And all I can tell you is that, you know, if you can't have children for whatever reason, adoption is a great option. We wouldn't make that adoption option so expensive. You know, we don't encourage adoption except unless it's gay and lesbians, you know, adopting kids. Then we want to put it top billing like they have every right in the world. But for, you know, families of husbands and wives, they make it very difficult. All right, John Legend and Kelly Clarkson are in the news. Kurt?
Do you know who this John Legend guy is?
Yes, of course. So do you. You just don't realize it.
You're up to date on this. Apparently he's an amazing musician or whatever.
He's a singer.
Mr. Nolte from Breitbart writes this piece, and the headline reads, John Legend records pro-abortion version of Baby It's Cold Outside.
Yeah, so the story about this is back in the 1940s, this song was written, and it didn't mean sex at all. It just meant I want you to stay, and it wasn't perverted at the time, as it is now. But now the Me Too movement has brought this back and said it's basically date rape in the making, and people are freaking out and everything else, and so now they rewrote the lyrics to not be so date rape in the making, but to be pro-abortion and pro-Me Too, and John Legend profiting handsomely along with Kelly Clarkson with this, quote, agenda. Kurt, do they have the lyrics that they changed, Andy?
Yeah, it says, they say it goes like this. Clarkson says, "What will my friends think?" Legend says, "I think they should rejoice." She says, "If I have one more drink." Legend says, "It's your body and your choice." So rejoice and choice, you know. And the Breitbart piece says, "Yes, it's finally happened, y'all. The left's woke jihad has finally cast aside all artistry, subtlety, and poetry in favor of a ball-peen hammer to drive a railroad spike into your forehead. What had once been a lovely, lyrical, playful, and yes, even insightful song about the beautiful dance of human seduction and how it is so gloriously teased out by both man and the woman, who is in total control, by the way, is now a NARAL bumper sticker. We don't know about the rest of the song yet, but it probably goes like this," this author says, where Clarkson says, "I really can't stay." Legend says, "It used to be cold outside." She says, "I think I want to be gay." He says, climate change makes me cry. She says, "You're much too cisgen." He says, "Oh, how I love CNN. I might marry an appliance," she says. He says, "Trump is racist and anti-science." She says, "That appliance vibrates real nice." He says, "You know, I've learned to..." Well, anyway, you get the picture, Sam. It's just kind of off the charts.
Well, here, but, and that's what we support and praise and promote in our society. And we bring up our concerns about it and stuff like that. And, you know, there you go. But again, you know what? They're John Legend and Kelly Clarkson, two very wealthy people, two very star-studded you know, musicians, etc., they put their money where their mouth is. Now the rest of us will just run around and complain and not do much about it and then wonder why we're losing the culture war, right? And that's pretty much what the narrative is going to be, right, Kurt? Now there's a few of us that'll stand up. You and I will do our best to fight it and to stand up against it or whatever. But for the most part, they'll just be a nod and a dismiss, right?
I'm not looking forward to hearing that song, by the way.
Yeah, it'll be all over your Christmas list on the radio stations and stuff like that, promoting this.
Yeah,
you know. Great. And while John Legend and Kelly Clarkson are going to be promote abortion, you've got you know, these people in California with Matt Staver of Liberty Council doing their best for Sandra Merritt to fight against this abortion giant just abusing. And, you know, Matt Staver is talking about how God is really witnessing and really standing up on this. And really, it's become Planned Parenthood on trial, so to speak, because they're just promoting the death. They're literally delivering babies alive. And then they're literally cutting the hearts out and organs out of these live babies. And they got caught at it in court. The video proves it. But the mainstream press isn't telling everybody, so the American people will just be ho-hum, right, Gordon?
That's a great point.
They'll promote this author, choice.
John Nolte from Breitbart ends his piece with a fact. He says, while John Legend was defacing Baby It's Cold Outside, dozens of porn shorts were filmed featuring young women agreeing to be abused and demeaned for $500. And those shorts will be seen by millions and millions of young men. But Legend would never do anything about that, because this is not about respecting or saving women. It's about ravaging what's beautiful, unifying, timeless, and perfect. John Legend is little different from the Taliban blowing up statues in the name of virtue. So, anyway, that's...
Well, there you have it. But again, they control the narrative, Kurt. And so, you know, I think that Nolte's right on this. And I think that Matt Staver doing a great job to battle the abortion abuses and the murdering that's going on in courts. But, hey, we don't have anybody to... I mean, I don't see any accountability for these abortion clinics. I see that Donald wants to stop funding to them, but Congress keeps the train a-rolling. And I don't see any real sea change. I mean, Donald's doing his best, but he's shut down at every turn by these people.
That's a great point. And in earlier in his article, he says, now, before I go any further, don't misunderstand. As a free speech extremist, I oppose any and all efforts to correct art, kind of like your monuments and stuff like that, Sam. He says, even art I personally do not find all that artistic. But why don't John Legend and his fellow left-wing vandals rewrite Two Live Crews as nasty as they want to be and to as distasteful as the consent form allows? Or anyway, it goes with some
well
other,
why doesn't ones. John Legend write a song about how to save these children from live birth murders? I mean, it's going on in the courts. It's documented 66 ways from Sunday on the court record, Kurt, now, because of the great work of Matt Staver and others.
You're exactly
Sandra
right.
Merritt and all these people. We have documented the murderous intent of Planned Parenthood, all funded by your tax dollars. What if the mainstream press were to take that on? What if these rock star people would highlight these realities? We could change the narrative in a heartbeat, Kurt. We'll do the best we can with the small sphere of influence we have. But it's not enough.
That's right. And Mr. Nolte from Breitbart says they don't, because their crusade is not about decency or purity or sensitivity or inclusion. It's only about tearing down and destroying America's shared culture, our classics, the art and artistry that unifies us, that brings us joy, that allows us some escape. And I would say they also don't, because it's politically incorrect to do that, Sam. And they
they'll lose their careers and their big money, big time.
Exactly.
Now, I find that fascinating. Taylor Swift writes a song, you know, about promoting the gay and lesbian agenda, and you're being too loud, and you just calm down, and all this, and that gets promoted big time. But I submit to you that John Legend is being too loud, forcing their agenda down our throats of pro-abortion and pro-death at every turn, funded by our tax dollars, no less. When we try to stand up against it, they paint us as racists or bigots or who knows what, or they simply continue to force their agenda. Ask Sandra Merritt if you don't believe me. All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully it was, I don't know how entertaining it is. Anyway, but we certainly need to highlight these issues and stand bold, noble, and independent in the culture war. We need to promote God, family, and country and protect life, liberty, and property. And the new media needs to take center stage so we can take back the narrative from the enemies of liberty. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. God save the Republic of the United States of America.